Hey, everybody. Welcome to Just Think, the podcast. This is Holly.
And Amy.
And Kristen.
And it is the last day of 2024, and we could not let this day go without gathering together with each other and with all of you, our very faithful listeners, that we are so thankful for. The journey that we have been on together since mid-2021, there was a new administration in town, the Biden administration. We were seeing the suppression of information, the cancellation of people who tried to be whistleblowers or speak the truth. And certainly we experienced that for ourselves. A lot of you have reached out to us over the last few years and said thank you for, you know, taking a risk or speaking out and taking the heat. And I just want to say that I can feel very confident I can say this on behalf of Kristen, Amy, and myself, that we saw this as a call and a mission that we could not answer. In other words, this was more than just creating a podcast. This was, we felt at the time and still do, it was a matter in many cases of literal life and death, of freedom and bondage, of America and not America. And we felt so strongly that we were willing to stick our necks out and start talking about things that were very polarizing. Today, at the end of 2024, so many of the topics that we brought to the table, well, we've now been proven right. Okay. Told you so. I'm sorry. Like, we don't want to be right fighters here. We want to be humble and gracious and kind. In most cases, I think we can do that. There's a few exceptions where I feel like I don't feel so gracious. Anthony Fauci would be one of them. Joe Biden and Hunter Biden would be another. There's certain situations, just so you know, as of the recording right now, December 31st, 2024, I believe more will come out in the coming weeks. Again, the U.S. Senate or Congress, I don't remember which body it is within our government in D.C., again, confirming the ties between the Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and China and Ukraine. There are now pictures that came out this week that proved he was with his son's business associates in China when he denied it. There is actual photographic evidence. We told you so. We, in 2021, we had to talk about the Hunter Biden laptop. And remember when that was considered Russian disinformation, over 30 to 40 FBI agents. Was it 50? I don't know. I think it was 50.
Yeah,
The FBI agents signing off on this. The corruption that we have had to discuss for the last 3 years. When I tell you that there are days it's been so heavy that we had to step away in times to just pull our heads out of here because it was so much and there was so much noise and there were so many a-holes in the world that wanted to attack us for simply asking the questions and showing some evidence that perhaps the narrative of the mainstream media was a lie, that the narrative of the Biden administration was a lie. So again, this is not a told you so episode, but what we would like to just take a moment and just have a moment of gratitude with our listeners for the fact that the truth has been like a lion. And if you just wait long enough, you will hear it roar. To those of you who didn't see what we saw in 2021, that's okay. If you're new to the party, welcome. Make yourself at home because we're just getting started. The truth is rolling out. It is not going to stop. It is not to say they will not try to suppress it, but they are. I do believe we've reached the tipping point. They cannot shut podcasts down quick enough to suppress the information. And what America woke up to is that their sources of information were no longer mainstream media. They were going to the podcast and they were going to the Substack. We have a Substack of our own, and I'd love to begin this conversation with a huge shout out to Jeff Childers Coffee and COVID. He doesn't even know, Jeff. You've been our right hand man for a lot of conversations.
I love him. He's amazing. He's our hero, and we want to meet him one day.
Someday we're gonna. And Aaron Siri is another one we're gonna meet. Right. But I want to go back to Jeff for just a second. Every week, deliver to your inboxes. Jeff just did sort of a recap of what's going on in the world and what maybe we should be paying attention to. He's an attorney out of Florida, but he's a great writer. Amy, I know that you've read his Substack this week. And Kristen and I said we had not finished. So is there anything that we're gonna start with today and move backwards through the last year? But what are some things that he had to say this week that you were just mentioning to us that we want to chat about?
Well, I haven't been able to read all of them, but with the holidays and everything, it's been crazy, I know, for everyone. But there was one that stood out, one little story that stood out that I was just like, oh, I can't wait for the girls to read this one. And so I figured I'll just share it with y'all here so everybody can hear it, because it's really awesome. Not awesome. It's hilariously ridiculous. Yes. This is from the December 28th Substack. It's called Revenge of the Nerds. That's the title of it. And there's a lot of good stuff in this one, but this just really was insane. Okay. So the UK Daily Mail ran a pair of pandemic articles this month, dripping with combined irony. The Mail ran the first one on December 7th. Under the headline, Alarming Reasons Strokes Are Rocketing in Men Under 40. I'll give you one guess who they blamed. You probably guessed it. It was an easy one. They blamed us. Junk food, heavy boozing, stressful modern living. With all our jet setting and materialism, stupid people, the doctors keep telling you how to live healthy, but you just won't listen. In their own buffoonish words, here is what the Daily Mail experts claimed is responsible for an alarming dramatic surge, not just a surge, a dramatic surge in millennial age strokes. This is what it says. Experts have raised the alarm about a dramatic surge in strokes among millennial men and have blamed junk food diets and increases in heavy boozing, as well as stressful modern lives, for the trend. So he says, junk food and boozing are laughable explanations for strokes in young people, especially when it's more pronounced in men. Those things are supposedly deadly over the long term. Also, according to experts, bad eating habits slowly and gradually build up tiny cholesterol nuggets in the arteries until you're in your 50s or 60s, and then a little piece will break off and kill you. But strokes in young folks caused by junk food without time to build up all those stroke nuggets? How? And as for booze, we all know that alcohol abuse slowly kills the liver, grows Santa bellies, crashes cars, and turns people yellow. But strokes? Apparently, nowadays in 2024, the very same alcohol recipes also cause strokes and always have. You're just remembering it wrong. All those anti-drinking campaigns, and they somehow forgot to mention stroke risk until now.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be vaccines. I could maybe see energy drinks, but junk food, beer, that, my friends, is just expert woo-woo hand-waving designed to shift blame to the victim and to generic products lacking strong political lobbies. The article was salted with internal contradictions, too, almost intentionally. Quote, alcohol consumption in younger age groups is, on average, falling.
What?
Okay, now for the second headline. But first, remember, millennials brought this on themselves through their poor lifestyle choices. Oh, wait. On Christmas Eve, the Daily Mail ran a dramatic follow-up story that linked the first article, but the headline was this. Super fit 30-year-old suffers shock stroke in the shower and now faces paralysis for life as cases skyrocket in the under 40s. Y'all, not just fit, super fit. No junk food, no binge drinking. He was a health fanatic. These poor millennials can't catch a break. Now they have to deal with sudden and unexpected shock strokes in the shower. Even after working so hard and sacrificing so much to be super fit, they may as well just drink it up. The combination of these two contradictory Daily Mail articles suggests a fraying narrative that is starting to tear itself apart. How long can they keep up the charade?
I mean, let's also remember, like, how many athletes have just dropped? How many athletes? We're talking, like, collegiate and professional athletes. These are incredible, like, incredibly fit people. So it's not the ones. I mean, what's crazy is it's the ones eating the junk food and drinking booze that end up living for so long. Why is that?
Truly.
Sometimes, just like, I mean, to just all of a sudden that all the, you know, like, they're just, it's like, oh, well, let's try junk food. Let's try booze. Like, You've never mentioned this before, ever, that this is causes strokes in people under 40. And now all of a sudden you are. And it's like, it's maddening. It's just maddening.
Oh, well, first of all, people under 40 have always consumed alcohol, have always eaten junk food for the last 50 years.
Right.
What changed in the last three years? That, to me, is where we have to take the conversation. And the fact that you're going to all of a sudden pretend that somehow the crap that's in our food and the overconsumption of alcohol is just now finally causing strokes and heart attacks. You're
dramatic,
crazy.
Dramatic surges.
This is where, again, the mainstream is just holding the line. They continue to carry the water of the corrupt. They continue to gaslight us, assuming that the vast majority of people are going to fall in line and believe this horse crap. It's ending. Your days are numbered. People have sat there and watched you declare that the sitting president of the United States just had a cold. He was just a little tired. He was mentally, and I quote Joe Scarborough, literal piece of dog poo. Sorry. That's where I put Joe Scarborough. The stuff I clean up out of my yard and Joe Scarborough, pretty much same level to me right now. Just sit here and tell us he's as sharp as he's ever been. Don't believe your lying eyes. Isn't that what they said in 1984? Don't believe your lying eyes. And you did it. You lied intentionally, repeatedly, assuming we would just fall in line and believe you. And we saw the moments of the stumbles and the stutters. And then you put him on stage. I mean, I can't believe you thought you're going to get away with it. You put him on stage to debate Donald Trump. And CNN did Donald Trump a huge favor by not allowing him to speak so that Joe had to stumble over words and thoughts and sentences to the point that it was so uncomfortable. We were all squeezing our armchairs going, is this really happening? Why did they let this happen? Because the truth came out. The lion roared. And you know what it told America? This is what they haven't covered this enough. Americans had to go, they're all in on it. They are all running defense for the Democrat Party. Even if you're if they were doing it for Republicans, I'd have been just as angry. Because that's not democracy. It's the moment that you start, that's called election interference. When you control the narrative and you lie for a party and you protect their image, that is called election interference. And thank God this time it did not work. Because last month, in early November, Christmas came early for a whole lot of us who've been trying to scream from the rooftops that they are lying. They are lying. You don't have to love Donald Trump to recognize what's happening. They're lying. They're covering it up. And they're trying to make him look like the demon while they are doing the work of the devil. That is literally what was going on. Mm-hmm. And the fact that now people have to go,
Now what?
Just admitted it in that Wall Street Journal just recently where they all of a sudden they're trying to say, we just interviewed like 50 staffers and they're all saying how they all had to run cover for him. They were not allowed to talk to him. He could only work for a couple hours a day. He couldn't answer questions. Like everything we've been saying, everything we've known, everything they lied to us about, everything that all these staffers knew the entire time. And now it's just coming out like it's brand new news or something. That's what's just so infuriating. And that's why we can never, ever, ever let this happen again. And I feel like what you said, Holly, November 5th, like the people spoke, not only the Electoral College votes, but the popular vote. Like we all spoke. And I think that is a resounding F you to the media.
Yes.
And to the celebrities, culture. Beyonce, you're not going to move the needle. You know, Megan Thee Stallion shaking your ass on stage for Kamala is not going to move the needle. Like all these things, they paying Oprah $1 million to act like she, you know, thinks you're the best thing ever is not going to move the needle. We are done with this celebrity culture crap. We're done with all of it. And it's just such vindication, all of it.
We've seen the good celebrities, but good in quotations, like the nice celebrities like Ellen DeGeneres just taking a real fall. I don't know all the stories there, but there's something definitely went down for her to quit and go into hiding. She's now moved to England, apparently. Okay. Like, something is okay. Then you got Diddy. Now you got Jay-Z being brought into the conversation, right? You have got so much going on in Hollywood that America is like, you know what? we're not that impressed anymore. We recognize that y'all represent the things that we basically hate in America, which is elitism, and that you live in a different world than the rest of us while looking down your noses at us and telling us how we should live and how we should vote.
Right.
Yeah, F that. We're not doing it. We're not participating. And it is, that's what feels so good right now, is that the truth is just coming to light about everything. There is an awakening that is happening spiritually. I mean, you look at people like Russell Brand, you know, becoming a Christian. I mean, we're actually seeing that happen quite almost like vigorously, where I would say, you know, we had Huberman, Dr. Huberman, like different people saying, hey, I'm really coming back to God. I'm realizing there's something greater than me out there, and I am pursuing a relationship with God. That's even a change. There's a shifting where people, the last few years forced us all to almost have a reckoning, right? Which was like, I got to decide what I believe and what I'm standing on, because the world feels precipitous, and it feels like we're on the verge of either disaster or a victory, and we don't know which it is. And I think we started this year, girls, like, anxious. We started this year pissed. I've told many people, I think I went through the entire year wondering if it was perimenopause or if it was the world. I couldn't decide. It was not perimenopause. As it turns out, I'm doing good. It was the world. Yeah. I was like, I'm good again.
A weight has been lifted. And you know, like, we may have brought this up before, but it was a blessing that Trump lost in 2020. And it was a blessing that we had to go through this time period. We probably wouldn't have started our podcast. Who knows if we would have? I don't know. And people wouldn't have, you know, come to this awakening state that we're all in, I don't think, if we hadn't lived through these past 3 years, as painful and as hard as they have been. They have opened so many eyes. So
it's almost like when somebody has to hit rock bottom before they make change. We had to have this rock bottom. I mean, and honestly, I keep saying too that it's been different things that have woken more people up. It's been a different thing. Like for us, it was like, we started learning about trafficking, and then there was the censorship, and then there was, you know, the masks, and then the vaccine. Then it's the kid, you know. Holly, you already had your eyes open to the childhood vaccinations, and you knew for sure. I kept hearing about it, but I just still, and I had a weird gut feeling, but it just never really 100% clicked until I had the time and I was forced to actually sit down and look at it all for myself. You know,
well, watched them play their hand. Kristen, you watched the medical community play their hand, and then you went, hold on. That hand looks familiar. That's the same hand I get when I go in my pediatrician's office, where I don't feel like I can question. Not saying this is necessarily your experience, but we all know, we all know how we were made to feel about vaccines. You don't question vaccines. They saved, quote, saved humanity. And so I think what helped you and Amy, even though you and we, the three of us, had had these conversations in the past, y'all, what? I was dripping my information. Yeah. I was like, wait. And if anyone's curious, it literally started where I just said, did you know in 1986 they passed a law that said we can't sue vaccine manufacturers for injury, but they know they are unavoidably unsafe. And the United States actually had to admit that when they passed this law. And anyway, that was the first way I started the conversation. And then Kristen and Amy were like, well, I've never felt at peace about it. I've like always had this feeling of like, I don't know. And I have a vaccine injured nephew and you know, there were stories I could tell, but it was little bits of information. And it's not like I was trying to tell Kristen and Amy, agree with me. It was that I was just saying, you should think about this or you should look at this.
And that's where I want people to understand that, like, it was the slow drip. It wasn't you trying to convince us or say anything in one conversation. Uh-uh. And it took patience on your part. But it's almost like when you're telling a child that they need to do something or not do something. They got to figure it out themselves. Like, you do the little slow drip, you say something, but let them figure it out, because if they figure it out themselves, it'll stick.
It was the slow drip combined with the COVID. Once we started questioning that, it opened our minds to be able to question other things. So if somebody can just find one thing when you find that one thing that you're questioning, that's kind of what cascades on itself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like once you ask the first question, once your mind cracks open to ask the first question about anything you've been told. I mean, I even sat there and looked at my son. We were on the plane coming back from Europe. I watched Fly Me to the Moon, which was like, it's a fictional story about the moon landing and how they were setting up a studio to record the moon landing in case they couldn't really record the quote real one. And it's all fictional. But I remember saying to my oldest son, I'm like, did the moon landing happen? And he goes, are you serious? Like, are you really questioning that? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I think I question everything now. I said, I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm saying once I've figured out what they've lied to us about so much, then I said, I now go, I don't know if it happened or not. And ironically, you know, Anderson said, I mean, who knows, right? He's like, who? I mean, because if you think about it, and again, we're not saying it did or didn't happen, y'all. I mean, it's crazy to think it didn't. But then again, it was crazy to think that our own government would have killed our president, right? That John F. Kennedy would have been perhaps killed by the very people we were terrified that could have killed him, you know, and it would be it'd be an inside job. That sounds crazy also, you know. I'm not a flat earther, but I'm definitely at the point where I'm like, I don't trust anything I've been told anymore.
Especially if the government is telling us, or the media is telling us, or any three-letter agency is telling us. Like right now, I'm like, if they just tell you you're supposed to believe it and they don't let you question anything, then you don't believe it.
Right. When you see a mass narrative pop up out of nowhere and everybody's saying it on the mainstream, that's when you know. Like, for example, bird flu, isn't that like the thing that like all of a sudden, you know, here it comes, right?
Bird media. I mean, that's all it is. It's just literal, like, squawking of the same thing, whatever channel you're on, the bird flu. How many people have died from the bird flu? Isn't it, like, zero?
I think it's zero.
It's like a respiratory virus that you get from chickens, and you basically have to work on a farm. I don't even think they've shown that it can spread person to person.
Well, y'all interviewed Dr. Kelly Victory, right? Was that her name?
Yeah,
from the Wellness Company, and she did go back to that interview. I don't know what episode number it is, but she'll lay out all the facts on the bird flu. And she knew this was coming. She said it back then. She's like, "This is what they're going to do. They're going to start. This is going to be the thing." And here we saw our favorite Dr. Leanna Wynn. I don't know if y'all remember her from the COVID days. CNN contributor doctor who was like just talking about how can we dangle the carrot to get more people vaccinated, and she had so many crazy views on completely opposite of us. But anyway. She's back out there now talking about, you know, we have to get the vaccine for the bird flu. The Biden administration has to do this before they get out of office, because when Trump comes in, who knows? They may not allow people to get a vaccine for the bird flu. And, you know,
I think who's going to sign up first to go get another rush vaccine.
And also, this is like, this bird flu has been around for years and years and years. This is not new, right? Like, this is a circulating thing. It's like, maybe when it first came out, it killed some people. And then, like, over time, there's like nobody's dying. It's just it's a flu. It's a flu.
It's so insane to me though that her exact, this wasn't her exact quote, we can pull it, but she said something to the effect of, did we not learn anything from COVID? And I'm screaming,
yes we did.
We learned, girl. We learned. Learned we're not listening to you. We learned that we're not listening to a lot of doctors like you or anyone on CNN other than maybe Scott Jennings right now, who, by the way, oh my god. Can we just pause for a minute
and be on? I can't
believe they pay him to be on. This is CNN at least admitting that their ratings are in the complete toilet and they need somebody with some sense on there. And the only person they have is Scott. But God bless you, Scott Jennings. You make CNN worth watching for 2 seconds. I mean, really.
Are you going to play it? Do you have the clip?
Which one? We reposted the day after the election. We reposted his clip. The left is trying to go after Elon Musk for foreign dealings and business, and they're concerned about its impact on America. Meanwhile, they have turned every blind eye to the Biden family, and Scott Jennings just sits there and basically calls that out. He's like, seriously? Seriously? Yeah. Seriously? We have a sitting president, a vice president, and now president. I mean, Elon Musk is just, you know, consulting with the
Good. I do have the Leanna Wynn clip.
I'm trying not to swear right now.
There's people all around, but hold on.
What should be happening in the Biden administration right now that isn't going on?
Yeah, there are two main things that they should be doing in the days that they have left. The first is to get testing out there. I feel like we should have learned our lesson from COVID that just because we aren't testing, it doesn't mean that the virus isn't there. It just means that we aren't looking for it. We should be having rapid tests, home tests available to all farm workers, to their families, for the clinicians taking care of them so that we aren't waiting for public labs and CDC labs to tell us what's bird flu or not. And the second very important thing is this is not like the beginning of COVID where we were dealing with a new virus. We didn't have a vaccine. There actually is a vaccine developed already against H5N1. The Biden administration has contracted with manufacturers to make almost 5 million doses of the vaccine. However, they have not asked the FDA to authorize the vaccine. There's research done on it. They could get this authorized now and also get the vaccine out and to farm workers and to vulnerable people. I think that's the right approach because we don't know what the Trump administration is going to be doing around bird flu. If they have people coming in with anti-vaccine stances, could they hold up vaccine authorization? If they don't want to know how much bird flu is out there, could they withhold testing? I mean, that's a possibility. And I think the Biden administration in the remaining days should get testing and vaccines widely available so that at least it empowers state and local health officials and clinicians to do the right thing for their patients.
Dr. Wynn, is bird flu in humans super dangerous?
Well, the World Health Organization estimates that in prior outbreaks of the bird flu, that the mortality rate is 52%. 52%. However, in this most recent outbreak, it seems that most cases have been mild, and maybe some people even have asymptomatic infection. But the question is, we don't know what happens when bird flu affects more vulnerable individuals. People infected so far in the U.S. have been mainly farm workers who are working, presumably generally healthy, as opposed to what happens when you get to children, to pregnant women, to older individuals with chronic illnesses. We don't know how deadly, how dangerous bird flu is going to be for those individuals. And again, that's one more reason why we don't want it to spread and acquire more mutations.
We also don't know how deadly the vaccine is going to be for those populations either. No. So I'm going to take my risk and you can take that vaccine and shove it.
Listen, I'm going to go kiss a chicken, slam on the mouth at this point, and I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I'm not taking a vaccine. I don't care. I do not care. I'm not doing this.
Please get this one of Anna's chickens for us.
I will go do it tomorrow. We will video it. That's where I'm at, y'all.
Please video it. Oh, and then we'll put this clip behind it.
Yes.
I'm just so angry at the fear mongering and the fact that clearly I want to know who pays her. Who pays her? Who pays her? Either she is literally mentally challenged, not smart, or she is absolutely bought by somebody. I don't see how you can play any other way. It's so insane to me that this is what you're sitting on here doing. By the way, did she not get really sick after COVID too, y'all? Do you remember this with her?
Changed her mind even about masking. She was the one like posting all about her kids in masks and
then
get vaccinated and all this stuff. And then she changed her mind, which, hey, I applaud you if you're actually going to change your mind. But now you're going to expect us to listen to you on this? Hell no. I mean, especially when I don't even know if she changed her mind on the actual vaccine. So that's where I'm like, if you promoted that,
she is getting paid. She is getting paid.
Speaking of propaganda, we need to bring up when we had mentioned Aaron Seary, the whole polio vaccine situation. If y'all have heard this, I did not finish the whole episode, but the whole first half was so good with Aaron Seary, which I love Aaron Seary anyway. He is like probably the best lawyer I've ever heard talk. He's so knowledgeable about all of this. But the propaganda, when they sit here and trying to smear RFK Jr., who had nothing to do with this,
No.
And talking about how they want to eradicate the polio vaccine. And
that's what the New York Times reported. The New York Times said that RFK and Aaron Seary were seeking to pull the polio vaccine from circulation and prevent people from getting it, which is not true. Number one, Robert F. Kennedy had nothing to do with that lawsuit. Just because Aaron Seary has been his attorney and other things on behalf of ICANN, he is not at all involved with RFK, is not involved with this. And also, Aaron Seary was not trying to get rid of the vaccine. He wanted the safety evidence presented so they sue, right, to like FOIA requests or try to get that information. What the headline should have read, which he clarified.
There's five different vaccines. Right. Five different. I think there's five.
One strain that he was asking about,
That's like 60 or 50 years old that they should have had the safety evidence for decades. And all they're asking for is evidence. It's more so than crazy.
They tested it for 3 days, the safety and efficacy for three days.
By the way, that's most childhood vaccines. As Aaron Seary says, go listen to Tucker's interview with Aaron Seary. Most are not tested for long. We actually played this. Listen to this.
Should take for the decline in measles in the cinema. They should take credit in the following way. Between the year 1900, it's all on the CDC website, but I'm about to tell you, and the year 1960, 61, 62, the year before the first measles vaccine in America, 1963, the mortality rate for measles declined by over 98%. That is, you can just go pull up the mortality data on the CDC website. This is uncontroversial. It's just data, what I just said. That decline had nothing to do with vaccines. You know how I know? There was no measles vaccine. That's how I know.
What caused that decline?
Better sanitation, clean water, getting sewage running out of the streets, right? All of these things. You know how many people died in the few years, on average a year before there was the first measles vaccine in 1963? 400 Americans a year died. That's 1 in 500,000 Americans died of measles in the years before there were vaccine. Every death is a tragedy. The measles can still kill people just like any virus can in parts of the world that are really underdeveloped. But that declining rate of mortality, it was a trajectory that was ongoing, even when the measles vaccine was introduced in 63.
I mean, that right there is what we need more people to know. Dr. Suzanne Humphreys wrote a book that we would suggest everybody read, which details the history of human viruses and when they went on the decline and when the vaccines came out for those diseases and whether or not the vaccines attributed to reducing death or not. And as Aaron points out here, it did not reduce significantly the deaths from measles. That came because we learned as society how to live in more sanitary conditions and certainly how to treat diseases. And so, again, it's just when people say, well, if you stop giving a measles vaccine, everyone's going to die. Millions will die. No, they won't. And it's just, again, we want information over indoctrination, right? We just want informed consent. We are not pro-anti anything other than pro-truth and anti-lying. And we just want the information so people can have informed consent or dissent, whichever they choose.
And speaking, I want to share this. Physicians for Informed Consent, they just sent this out recently. I shared this. I think we shared it in Just Think, too. But Physicians for Informed Consent releases new collection of educational documents, states MMR vaccine has not been proven safer than measles, mumps, and rubella. And I just showed, as you were showing that clip, the chart that shows the rapid decline before the vaccine ever came out. But it says, hang on, the measles DIS, that's the disease information statement, was our first back in 2017, and it highlighted a pre-vaccine measles mortality rate of 1 in 1,000 reported cases and 1 in 10,000 total cases, reported and unreported. Now we have included new data which shows that the measles pre-vaccine mortality rate was about 1 in 90,000 total cases in children who did not have a vitamin A deficiency. So now they're saying most measles, mumps, and rubella cases are benign. And before the mass vaccination program was introduced, fatality and permanent disability from measles, mumps, and rubella were rare in the United States. 1 in 93,000 or 0.001% of measles cases with normal levels of vitamin A resulted in permanent disability or death. 1 in 66,000 or 0.002% of mumps cases were fatal or resulted in permanent disability. 1 in 210,000 or 0.0005% of rubella cases contracted after birth were fatal. Immunity from the MMR vaccine wanes over time. Amongst vaccinated children, about 60% are susceptible to infection and spread of measles by age 15. About 50% are susceptible to infection and spread of mumps within 19 years. More than 30% are susceptible to infection and spread of rubella within 15 years. So that goes on and has several other things. But also what we've learned is that even, and I'm not saying for people to go contract it, but people who do get these diseases, they have lifetime immunity, right? And I swear I remember, and I want to find it because I want to make sure I'm saying the right thing. But I know, I think when we went to that, one of those health conferences that, was it Dr. Jennifer Margulis or whatever, was talking about how even the having measles, it actually can prevent certain cancers.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember that?
Yeah. There seems to be a correlation between immunity gained naturally in childhood from having had the measles. And there was certain kind of, I don't know if it was colorectal cancer or some cancer. They believed it did help provide immunity towards that. So again, and I've heard that for years now.
Right.
You know, my sister told me that years ago. She's like, they think there's even a correlation to the way that a child's immunity is built through having childhood diseases and fighting them off prepares them as an adult to live better, which makes sense. I mean, God, here's the thing. You know, Aaron Seary talks about this in his episode with Tucker, which again, we're going to tell everybody to go listen to. But he says he has seen vaccines become a religion. And it seems to be among those who have no religion. So if you're an atheist or you're not really a part of a, if you really don't have a faith in God of some sort, you tend to worship and put your trust in your savior, which would be vaccines. And he said it is literally cult-like. He said it is wild to watch, but we've seen this. We've heard a lot of people talk about this. Actually, I know Russell Brand's talked about, if you don't have a faith in God, you will worship something else because we were created to worship. As beings, we were created to worship something. So if we don't have a God that we worship, we will worship something else. It's just so interesting to me that that seems to be the case, right? Where these people have put all their faith and trust in these products that we are now being able, because the information has been allowed to get out in the interwebs that's not been controlled. We do have information to question the safety and efficacy of every vaccination on the childhood schedule. And nothing screams corporate corruption more than when in 1986, they said you can no longer sue the vaccine companies or hold them liable for injury while setting up a court that is paid by taxpayers for people for injury. So we know injuries happen. We know they happen. But then they're just not going to hold the right people accountable. And so we went from 10 inoculations in children to 72, I think, on the schedule today. That tells you everything right there. The amping up of the delivery of more and more vaccines for diseases in which your child would actually more than likely survive. I mean, where we're talking about a stomach virus, I mean, all these things can be serious for sure, especially if you get dehydrated, but they're very survivable. And I think where people say, see, I think what some people think is, well, I just don't want to get sick. Well, your immune system is going to be tested somehow. Okay. So it's either going to be naturally or you can roll the dice on a vaccine. The problem is people are not informed about side effects. They are never, rarely ever given the insert that comes in the package. Not the paper with cute little designs on it from your, you know, this in bright colored paper at your pediatrician. Not that one. The one that says, this could kill your kid. This could give your child encephalitis. By the way, encephalitis, autism, there's a connection there. Okay. Yep. This could give your child encephalitis. This could give your child deafness. This could give your child... Oh, by the way, I just pulled the inserts when we were doing this post that we just played for you guys with Aaron Seary when he talks about the polio vaccine. I pulled the insert. Do you know what it says? If you are, if you have an autoimmune disease or you're autoimmune compromised or have a close family member who is, do not give them the shot.
I have not seen that.
That's like 49% of the population. But what? I mean, did your pediatrician ever ask you, like, is there autoimmune disease in your family?
You know what else they don't ask? What else they don't ask is, hey, if we know that it's related to vitamin A deficiency, how about we draw some labs on vitamin A? Or if we know that a genetic predisposition, like say you have the MTHFR gene, say you have the MTRR, the COMT, some of those, if we know for a fact, your genes don't change.
Now,
why are we not checking this at birth? Instead of injecting a hepatitis B vaccine or a sexually transmitted disease or bloodborne illness, you know, drug-related, IV drug needles or whatever, instead of doing that, why are we not just checking to see, hey, what can we do to optimize your health on day one? Instead of what can we do to jeopardize your health on day one? Like, it really makes no sense if you start thinking about it. So if you just like vitamin D, there's huge correlation in your vitamin D levels and any respiratory illness, especially COVID. Yep. Why were we not talking about that? There are so many things that we just need to take a step back and reevaluate everything in our medical system. Stop listening to the insurance companies. Stop listening to the indoctrinated doctors. Let's listen to the people who think and care.
Yeah.
For what?
Well, if they don't have a financial interest in your decision.
Or who put you over finances. You're right. Yes.
I mean, the problem is we've spoken to doctors who've confirmed this, that they said pediatricians would make no money if it were not. Well, it would not make much money. Right. And they've paid all this money for medical school. They wouldn't make much money if it weren't for vaccines. That's how they get the well visit. That's how they justify the well visits every year. They get you in and then we know they get kickbacks from the insurance companies for having a certain percentage of their patients vaccinated. So, again, things that you were told are conspiracy theories that are now provable. Right. So they have an incentive for you and they'll do it. And listen, and not to blame every pediatrician for their ignorance. Although now in 2024, if you're a pediatrician that remains ignorant, I have zero respect for you.
Right.
I have zero respect for you. You have closed your mind to the truth. It's who you are. And I wouldn't let you take my child's temperature. I would not if that's how you are. And so the thing is that I can understand they were indoctrinated through medical school that vaccines save lives, but they were never really taught about vaccines. And we know this because we've asked countless doctors if they were taught. No, they were just part of public policy. And public policy did a great job when they could control the information and making sure we all fell in line lockstep with them and said, hey, vaccines save lives. Public health is at risk. Let's all do our part. We believed it. And now we don't. Now we don't. And that's why I'm saying I'd kiss a chicken because we're not going to go along. I'm not blindly going along. You will have to prove to me that the risk and the benefit goes way beyond the risk for me to ever let you stick anything, any shot in my body or in my kids or in my grandkids, even though I will not get to necessarily make all those decisions. I will heavily influence my children and their wives. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And that is also, once again, the blessing of social media and the rise of the citizen journalists, Substack, podcasts, all this, because, you know, like Holly said, we all fell in line because it's all the information we had. And Aaron Siri even said on the interview with Tucker, you know, he was like, the New York Times is straight up lying to you, like straight up lying. This is a full blown lie. But if this would have been 15 years ago, who would he tell? Who would have him on? Who would he even be able to go tell, hey, by the way, this is a lie. Like, thank goodness we are living in the age that we're living in. And that is what is causing this whole house of cards to crumble. And I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. My sister created a group. I will not say the name of it. It's on Facebook. She created a group long before 2020 and Facebook tried to repeatedly shut her down. And by the way, it wasn't like she was putting like, don't vaccinate your kids. It was literally information. It was literally data and science. It was peer-reviewed papers that went against the narrative. And they really, I mean, it's just so wild to me that even then you could not even question. To me, here's my belief. Anything that is true will withstand scrutiny, right? Anything that's true can withstand scrutiny because you can prove that it's true. Every time you prove it's true, that's like when people question my faith, you know, there's certain things that faith is, you know, the evidence of things not seen. I can't prove everything about my faith, but my faith is strong enough to a point that I know it can be scrutinized. What I believe can be scrutinized, I believe it will stand the test of that scrutiny. That's how you should feel about vaccines. If you think they have saved humanity, let us hash it out. by all means, with RFK, please, 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 Stanley Plotkin or who's the other ding dong?
Peter Hotez. Peter Hotez.
The non-picture of good health, like the epitome of disease in a body is what he looks like. He looks like he's a moment away from a heart attack or stroke. And yet he's considered a health authority. Go figure. But please debate RFK and let's just put it out there. But see, they are so scared that people will hear just a little bit and they won't vaccinate their kids anymore. And so, again, that they're just holding on for dear life. I'm telling you, it's a house of cards that's crumbling. I'm telling you, we have been praying for this for years and we will not stop. And by the way, just because we've seen some victories in the last few months, everybody, we have not begun to fight. Like we're going to have to fight to get all of this accomplished in the next 4 years. There's so much that needs to crumble. And I pray that the ball is set in motion already and it's already rolling and it's just going to roll downhill. But we all know they're not going down without a fight. And they're going to try to hide and run and cover up and flip it around. And they're going to tell their own stories and create their own narratives. Be as innocent as doves, but as shrewd as serpents. Get ready, because there's no way they're just going to quietly, this force of evil that has been global, there's no way it's just going away. It's not. It will go. It might go into hiding. It's not going away. You better stay vigilant, alert, prayed up, because it's what we've been against is demonic to the core. I really believe it too.
And I do feel like we cannot get complacent. We cannot just sit back and say, okay, we won, we're good. Like, but I mean, at the same point in time, I do have a lot of hope. Like we have a force right now, a huge, wonderful, amazing team that Trump is putting together. And so we have so much incredible potential. We got some smart people there, okay? Like legitimately smart. And so I do feel like we have a lot of hope, a lot more hope than we have ever since we began this podcast. But it is true. Evil is still there. It will always be there. And we just have to be vigilant. And I think the best thing we can do is, you know, even to segue into like really what we want to just focus on too, the best thing we can do is to be the healthiest, strongest versions of ourselves. And it sounds so cheesy to say that. I feel like you hear it all the time. But like truly, the healthier we are, it inspires other people to be healthy. And then you're not sick. You're more aware. You're smarter about your decisions. And you can't let these people come in and try to like phase you. Okay, you're not going to go. You're going to go look at the labels and be like, I'm not putting that shit in my body. I'm not letting my kids do that. You know, how many of y'all even knew about all the dyes and how we had our junk food is worse than the junk food was 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. And our food is worse than Europe's food right now. Why? From the same damn company. So this has to make you think. And I hope all of y'all are reading the labels, and I hope the grocery stores take a hit. I hope these food companies take a hit, and we just have to be smarter. And the healthier we are, the smarter and healthier the whole world becomes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's
and
right.
Lead by example. Stuff out. Call it out. Like, you know, we're going to continue calling stuff out on this podcast. If you know, the lies and not letting them get away with spinning these bogus narratives like junk food and booze are making men under 40 have strokes and dramatic surges. I mean,
look, we don't need to be eating all the junk food and drinking all.
No, you don't, but
real.
Come on. Let's be smart about what causes a dramatic surge in strokes.
Yeah. And the brain.
It's not the same things that have been around for 20 years. It's not the same things that they've been getting away with. It's not. You'd have to be stupid to believe that.
Right.
And honestly, like, you know, it'd be so nice if some people who have disagreed with us would just come on the podcast and let's hash it out. Like, I got some names in my head that I would love to say, I will never say their names again out of my mouth, but I will tell you this, I'd love to talk to them. I'd love to sit right in front of them and talk to them, because I guarantee you that courage will not be the same when they're sitting within arm's reach of us, because I've wanted to choke a sister out a time or two. Like crazy, crazy, crazy. It like, to me, I lose respect. By the way, let me just say, I've had great conversations with people who disagree with me regularly, and we love each other. We just don't agree. I love those people. It does not change the way I love them. It's people who are illogical. like literally don't have the information. They are just mean and spiteful and annoying. And, you know, and I'm just like, oh.
Side note, y'all, we have said so many different times because obviously you can't even imagine how many texts we all send to each other. But there have been so many. We're like, we need a ghost account so that we can just say anything we want
on Twitter. On Twitter. If someday it sounds like our voice is under a different account on Twitter, you will know we finally did it. My kids call it the burner accounts, but I'm like, it would so get traced back to me though, and then I will be canceled forever. But I have wanted to say horribly terrible things about Steve.
A Holly textbook.
We need a book with your
please, text. Y'all. The FBI is already probably following me. Please delete all the bad things I've ever said. I put it in text.
Hopefully we won't have to carry any of this energy into 2025.
Right. We're going to take positive.
Because Kristen said, we have some hope on the horizon, even though we know the evil is not going away. We can still just have a little bit of a different mindset going into this year and let these people just
go.
Dig
let
their grave, really.
And as Kristen also said, really, we want to focus more and more on health and wellness. So if you guys have, and just exposing the truth about how to heal, how to stay well, we've learned so much. We behind the scenes get the honor, and I really consider this an honor and privilege to help other people get well and live well, because we are learning things and sharing with in real time with people what we've learned from having dealt with our own sicknesses the people we've interviewed, the information we've learned. We love our Relax Saunas, by the way. We have a discount code for those. That price ends today, but I'm obsessed. I'm at the beach right now where I don't have mine, even though it is portable. I just couldn't get it together at the last minute to grab it. I have missed it every day. Yes. Our Red Lights by Loombox, obsessed. I'm still drinking my hydrogenated water. And again, these are things we bought at the beginning of 2024. We are still using them. Not the sauna, but we are still using our products. We're going to continue talking about things that we know can help you live and age well and stay well, keep your families well, keep your kids well. So if there's a topic, I know personally, I would love to dive into birth control and the side effects of birth control and how its impact on a woman's body. That if you guys know of a great OBGYN who is awake and knows the truth, or a doctor that is awake and knows the truth, we would love to interview them. Please connect us with them. We would love to talk about a lot of different things, but I know for sure we want to continue to uncover and kind of break up the status quo. And another thing we'd like to do is just completely dismantle the whole medical system in 2025 so that we are no longer beholden to doctors who don't know and to insurance companies who are corrupt. We want to continue dismantling the system, which is why we are firm believers in crowd health. We talk about that every week. Crowd health is something we know is making a real difference in helping people have medical freedom and helping them cover their costs and not go bankrupt, because it is the number one cause of bankruptcy in America. So with that, guys, we're excited about 2025. Thank you for being with us, being our faithful listeners, being our thinkers. And again, we love hearing from you. So if you have ideas of things you want us to discuss and tackle or rabbit holes you want us to go down, we're not going to go down the diddy hole anymore. We promise.
I do want to throw this out there because please, I know we've said this before on our social media, but we're going to put it out here right now. If anybody knows anyone in social media, in Instagram, in somewhere where we can figure our shiznit out, Amy and I have not been able to log into our original Just Think Instagram account. We have two. Our original one is the one that has the underscore, Just Think, right, underscore the podcast. The other one is the one that we had to create when we had been censored, when they took us off. We have been unable to get in. So, or Holly has been, we just send her crap all the time. Share it, Holly, share it.
I'm struggling.
And, you know, we also have our own lives and businesses and stuff, too. But it will be so awesome. This is where, obviously, we struggle, where we need the help. So, please, if you know anybody who knows anybody, please help us. That's our goal for 2025.
Yeah. that two thing verification system that they that we ran into, that once I verified it on my end, they cannot get in it. It won't even allow them to try. Like it's that jack.
You log in with the email and password, but it just takes us directly to the second page, right? Our back page, the original page. And so that's where we're stuck. We log in with the same exact email and password that Holly gets in with, but it takes us to the other page. Anyway,
it's just like banging our head against the wall. So not to end like that, but we really would love to see somebody to help.
Somebody is techie and smart in the ways that we are not. Please help us. Okay. Yes. And with that, thank you guys for being with us. We'll see you next year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone. We'll see you. Bye, y'all.